Matthew chapter 6. Please follow along as I read for us from verses 1 through 4. Our Lord Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Let's ask the Holy Spirit to teach us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would remind us of the words of Jesus and do what no human speaker can, but convict us, convince us of the truthfulness, of the benefits, of the humbling that comes from encountering your truth and word. Lord, wherever your word is proclaimed this morning, here or far away, we pray that people would be built up, faith would be strengthened, lives would be changed, the brokenhearted would be mended. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our church theme for this year is the spiritual disciplines, and we're actually moving into a spat of three parts of the Sermon on the Mount that are going to talk about this. We're going to talk about Jesus now in chapter 6 moves into three sort of disciplines that you could consider in terms of giving, the discipline of giving, the discipline of prayer, and the discipline of fasting. And today we're going to focus on giving. And I think many of us, if you're a typical American, according to the books that I've been reading, then when I talk about a sermon on giving, I think people begin to have certain responses. It's like, uh-oh, this is about money. Or, uh-oh, this is about the church. Is the church, did they make it budget or not? I actually don't think this is really about giving, to be honest. Actually, much of the Sermon on the Mount is sort of not what it appears to be. Jesus is talking to people that on the outside look very good, particularly the Pharisees that look very good. I don't think he's talking so much about giving here, but how giving flows out of a certain reality in life. So listen to me if you know what this reality is. Last week we talked about how do we handle this issue in life? How do we handle when people try to take advantage of us? Can you relate? Have you ever felt that way? This week, I don't think this passage's topic is going to address in our hearts just giving. It addresses a different human dynamic. Can you relate? This passage talks about every person's drive for two things: recognition and reward. Let's begin by thinking about how every human being, at least I think the Bible teaches and I think human experience says this, we all have a desire, for the most part, to be noticed. Is that not true? Think with me to imagine a classroom of very small children. Preschoolers, young elementary, not older because they're sort of different, young elementary. And the teacher in that room says this question. Picture what happens. Can anyone tell me who was the first president of the United States? Now, if you're like me and you're imagining a room of children sitting on the ground, what do they do when they hear that? I see a couple hands shoot up. I hear a couple kids just shout out, George Washington. They just say the answer. And I see that kid that's like Hermione Granger from Harry Potter going, she's crying out, I know the answer. Have you seen that? If you have small children, does that happen? Do they want to show you that they know something? Do they want to get noticed? They want to be recognized. Moving on a little bit, you get to the sort of younger, older ages of later, early adolescence or early teens or late elementary, and you don't find it anymore. If I go to like 7th or 8th grade and I say, does anyone know how to do this problem? You know, you don't see 8th graders going, oh yeah, pick me, teacher. And you might think, yeah, you know, Enoch, you're right. When we get up to that age, in fact, when we become adults, you ever ask a room of adults, does anyone know what it feels like? You know what they do? What you're doing right now. They just look right back at me. You don't really expect me to answer or respond, do you? So why is it the case that do 5th to 8th graders or 9th graders, they don't raise their hand anymore? They don't really care about getting noticed.
Is that true?
Are these 8th and 9th graders deeply secure people? I think they've changed who they want to get noticed by. When you're really small, you want to get noticed by your parents. Actually, when you're really small, you want to get noticed by everybody, right? And then, a little bit older, you want to get noticed by your teacher. But when you get a little older, TV, it's not cool to be noticed by the teacher, you know? It's not cool. Teachers are kind of clueless, portrayed in our media. I'm sorry to say, that's the media presents it. I'm not a fan of media that presents teachers as bumbling, and all adults, frankly, as bumbling idiots, and teenagers are the only ones with a clue. I think teenagers have changed who they want to get noticed by. It's not the adults, not the teachers, it's their peers. Right? Don't tell me that teenagers don't want to get noticed and recognized by their peers. Don't tell me that. And don't tell me this, that college students, they also, at some point, they realize, especially if they're driven for school and academic achievement, at some point they realize, I don't really even care about getting noticed by my peers. If my friends go out and hang out and have fun, I've got more important things to do. I'm applying for college. Of course, a lot of you are here in college. That's great. Some of you are here in college, but you're not in this room. You're in Watertown. That's fine, too. But as we're here, you noticed. Okay, so as we're here talking about college students have changed who they want to get noticed by. It's not so much my teachers. It's not even my peers. I want to get noticed by some strange, anonymous, known face, name person who controls the admissions access to the schools I want to get into. And then we want to get noticed after that by the job providers, by employers. Along the hallway, we want to get noticed by someone good-looking and special who might want to marry us the whole time. And of course, by the end of when you're an adult, you realize, you know, I had it right when I was a kid. I want to be noticed by everybody. I want everyone to affirm that I'm something important. This passage, and actually the several disciplines that follow, Jesus pokes and prods at a human desire to be recognized. And you know what is one of the best ways to get human recognition? You know what is one of the most respected ways to get human recognition globally? To be a person of deep spiritual faith. I mean, people may mock different religions or Christians, but when you come to it, when this person seems very religious, people sort of respect that still to this day, even if you totally disagree with their religion. We desire to get noticed. And if we didn't have the luxury of time, I would do all 18 verses in one sermon. But because our theme is spiritual disciplines, and because we've got the time, we're going to go into each of these three areas 1 week at a time, Lord willing. And so this morning, we are talking about getting noticed by looking generous. Getting noticed by being seen as very sacrificial. Getting noticed by being recognized as a very magnanimous, gracious, giving spiritual person. This morning, I believe Jesus will teach us three things from this passage as we consider his words very quickly. Number one, Jesus is going to say why we should not seek recognition and reward from others. Why should we fight against the desire to seek recognition and reward from others? Why we should not seek it. Number two, what should we do instead? If we're not going to seek recognition and reward from others, what is someone who follows Jesus supposed to do about that? How do we live? And then number three, if the first point is why we should fight against the urge to get recognition and reward from other people, and if number two is what we actually do to achieve that, then the third point we'll see is this. What do we need in order to do that? What has to be true about our lives in order to be free from the need to be recognized? To be recognized as a good employer, to be recognized as a good boss, to be recognized as a great spouse, to be recognized as a good parent who's got successful, healthy children, to be recognized as a great church, making an impact somewhere, making a difference in the community, being significant in the city. How do we fight against the urge for recognition and reward to be generous as we give and serve the poor. We're going to see that first point. Why should we not seek recognition and reward? In the first verse. Would you please now look at chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus says this, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Why should we not seek recognition and reward from people? I'll tell you what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying it's wrong. Not in this passage, at least. Jesus does not say, don't do it. That's wrong. That's shallow. Don't do it to look good. That's just really shallow. He's also not even going so far to say it's a sin. Nowhere did he say, don't do it because God will punish you. Actually, what does he say? Did he say that if you do this, God's going to punish you? God's going to condemn you? Bad things will happen? Verse 1, don't practice your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them because God will punish you for your self-centeredness. No. This is maybe hard for certain Christians in America to grasp because it goes against the grain. This is also very hard for immigrant cultures, particularly East Asian immigrant cultures, to grasp because it seems to go against the grain. What is the grain? The grain is this. We should serve God and love the poor because. Oh, because God. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says one thing that he intends to drive home and stir in his hearers. Oh, you're right, Jesus. We shouldn't do righteousness before others. Why? It says in verse 1, because you will have no reward. Jesus is not saying, don't do this. Beware because it's wrong. Beware because you're going to be punished. He says this, beware because you're going to suffer loss for the very recognition and the very reward you and I want. Let's just think about this. How do we motivate little children? How do we motivate small animals? How do we motivate adults? It's reward and recognition. We can punish people, yes. We can discipline them. That definitely has its place and it has its effectiveness. But in good organizations, in healthy schools, and in whole intact families, there's an idea that we reward people for doing the things that they're supposed to do. And so why is it that when we come to church, when you expect to get a bonus from work, when you put in great work that year, when you expect to be rewarded with a commendation from your teacher because you really came through on that research project and helped your teacher, finish her project, when you expect a reward from people that you just, if you find a wallet and it says reward, I mean, do you really want to say, reward, lost journal, reward $1,000? I mean, do you really want to go, here you go, no, this is reward itself. No, take the money, Jesus basically is suggesting. He says this, the reason why you should not get recognition and reward from people is because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It doesn't last. It's fleeting. It's not fulfilling. And there's always one more person to get to notice you, to get to like you, to get to praise you. If you and I have been trying to combat the urge to be recognized and noticed by other people by saying, I don't need that, I promise you, you will lose that battle. If you say, I'm going to just kill and squelch the desire, forgive me, Father, I shouldn't want to be noticed by other people. Jesus says, no, I made you this way. I built you, the human condition, that you would crave recognition and yearn for reward. That is not a part of a fallen world. You know what's part of a fallen world? This is what's part of a fallen world. Who we want that recognition from. Fickle, fallen, finite, limited, sinful, corrupt people like us? Or a God who's perfect and loves and understands everything. This is what Jesus says. Why should you fight against this urge to be recognized and rewarded by other people? Because it's not worth it. It's totally not worth it. When I was in UCLA, one of my classes, we walked into a classroom, and it was a section of, you know, not the lecture, but kind of a section, and there's a person sitting in the front. So we all walked in and said, oh, look, there's the TA. So we start talking to the TA, the teaching assistant, try to, you know, ask me what the homework is and all these things and stuff like that. And we did that for a few minutes, okay? And we're talking to this TA until someone else walks in and says, okay, let's begin. And we turn around and we go, wait, who are you? I'm just another student in the class. So we looked, well, then I don't really care about your opinion. Hi, TA, what's the homework assignment? What do we need to do? When we realize that we're trying to garner the favor of someone that really isn't in a position to reward us, we realize that human favor, human recognition, human reward, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You want a plaque? Is a plaque worth it? Is naming a building after you worth it? Is having a prize or scholarship or an award named after you important? Is it important to be recognized as the leader in your field? Is it important to be recognized as the best of all parents? Is it important to be recognized from other people these titles? Jesus says, yeah, it's good. Let's not kid ourselves. It's pretty powerful to be recognized. I've never been recognized for a major award, so I'm not exactly sure what it feels like. But I would imagine that if you were given an award, if you were brought up in front of thousands of people, if your name was in lights, if your name was tweeted all over the, you know, internet, I think that's pretty powerful. Don't downplay the allure of the praise of people. You will lose also. We will not win if we downplay the allure of other people. We need to realize that as great as the allure of the praise of people is, God's praise is better and more worth it. So, why should we not seek the recognition and reward from other people, the praise of generosity? Because it's not worth it. So, what do we do? What do we do in light of this, in terms of giving? Jesus is going to say two things I want you to do. And here we're going to get to in verses 2 and 3. So let's take a look. Verse 2 and 3. Here's what we need to do. Number 2, verse 2. Thus, when you do something like give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and the streets. Sound no trumpet. The first two things when it comes to giving to the needy is this. Don't attract attention. How do you actually live in a way where you're not actively seeking the praise and recognition of other people? Jesus says, don't sound a trumpet. Now, the phrase there, give to the needy, a lot of translations in English, the older ones, would say charity. And that word is sort of means different things today. I think charity means like sort of a pity thing, like, oh, it's a charity laugh. I'll laugh at your bad joke. But what the biblical notion of this is, it really is everything you could possibly do to serve the poor. Everything you could possibly do to meet the needs of those around you. That's what serving the needy is. It's just everything, not just giving money. And he's saying, sound no trumpet. Make no resounding noise. And in those days, it says the Pharisees would stand on the street corners or in the synagogues. And we know from stories like Mark 12, where there's a story you might recall of Jesus and his disciples sitting in the temple. And they watch all these people lining up to give their offering into the temple. And there's a particular box. And they talked about how these wealthy people coming in their fancy clothes with their big old bags, Hagrid-sized bags of coins and stuff, would actually pour into these offering containers. Now, we've got these soft bags, so if you throw money in, it doesn't make a sound. Maybe that's a good thing. But in those days, metallic wooden boxes, metal coinage, wealthy person with a lot of coins, you know what they would do? They'd walk up to the offering, the little box there, and, you know, do their prayer and take their bag and and it'd just be loud, and everyone's temple would be like, whoa, rich person, giving lots of money. And they'd look, and that person would be considered generous. It's sort of what happens in Foxwoods when someone hits a jackpot and all those coins come out. Not that I know. But, you know, that's what the idea is here, saying attracting attention. Don't attract attention to yourself. Jesus simply says, don't even do it. Don't even attract the attention. When you serve, do it in a way that is understated. And the second thing he says, this, beginning in the rest of that verse, but when you give to the needy, verse 3, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, okay, there's some bad interpretations here we wish to avoid. When it says don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, it does not mean this. Be bad with your finances. You know, if you're married and you give $1,000, don't tell your spouse. Because, you know, she or he doesn't need to know. It's okay. Of course, then the other spouse, hearing the sermon, getting convicted by the Spirit, gives another $1,000. And they're just, I'm going to be practicing this sermon. I'm not going to tell anyone. In fact, I have my parents' credit card. I'm in college. They're Christians. It's okay. And even if they're not, it's okay. It's for good cause. It's not saying, you know, don't keep good books. It's not saying be bad with your finances. It's not justifying that. It's saying, don't be impressed. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing so that you can be impressed. Like, wow, you did that? That's amazing. And your hands talk to each other and shake each other's hands. Congratulations on being so awesome. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't do it to impress anyone. Now, I think a lot of us kind of get this. But there's a more theological thing here. Commentators would say that the left hand and right hand talk about this. Don't let your good works, your good deeds, make you think differently of your good standing before people or God. Don't let the things you do with one hand, the fact that you're doing nice things, giving away lots of money, influence how you think about yourself before others or God. Let's think of it this way. If I feel better about myself because I give a lot of money, and maybe I'm very generous, maybe I'm wealthy, and I give thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars and even millions of dollars away. Two things. If I feel good about myself for giving away, what do I have to look at someone else who doesn't give away as much as me? What do I have to think? What will be the inescapable conclusion? If I look in my heart and I say, I give away a lot of money and I feel good about myself, what is the inescapable, logical, necessary conclusion when I see other people of my social economic standing not giving it away? I have to look down on them. There's no way around it. You can't feel good about doing something and then not look down on those that don't. Or worse, what if you don't have the means anymore to give? Or what if you don't give away anymore? You will have to feel bad about yourself. I'm not saying feeling convicted that you need to share. I'm talking about self-worth, self-identity. Jesus is saying, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. In other words, keep these completely distinct. What you do in life is not going to greatly determine your ultimate value. Because if it was, we would all be racing to be the most generous people possible. We would all be racing to get the most recognition and praise. He says, this should not affect your view. And when it says, don't impress anyone, he also means don't impress ourselves. Have you ever done this? I have. I confess. I've given something away. I didn't tell anyone. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm awesome. Because I gave in secret. And you know what? I'm thinking, I didn't give it to anyone. I'm not getting any recognition or praise from anyone. Is that true? I'm getting a lot of praise right now when I think that. I'm giving myself praise. I'm giving myself the recognition. Enoch, if I could reach around, pat you on the back, that was awesome. You're not just generous, you're secretly generous. Good job. The only way you will avoid getting praise from not only other people but yourself is if you do what Jesus says. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do not train ourselves to think of our worth based upon how we do. So that's what to do. Give it away to not attract attention, and give it away that doesn't try to seek impressing anyone, including ourselves. Because that is how you know really you're doing it for God. If you give stuff away to feel good about yourself, you're getting your reward. But if you give stuff away to serve the poor, to get God, that's what Jesus is saying. You say, but isn't it selfish to get, isn't that still self-centered? You're still trying to get God. Okay, here's what Jesus says. If being selfish means seeking God with all your heart and is willing to trade everything for this pearl of great price, then be selfish. If being selfish is finding ultimate joy in the God who loves you and created you, then if you call that selfish, then so be it. But Jesus doesn't call it selfish. He calls that joy. He calls that faithfulness. He calls that the purpose of life. That is what he's talking about. How do we actually do that? What is the secret? You have to give in a way that no one knows. That's the only way you can be sure that you're not doing it for the praise of others. That's the only way you can really be sure. So we put it this way. What is the secret of giving? The secret of giving is giving in secret. The secret of giving, to find true joy, to have a certainty that I'm giving it not for the praise of other people, even myself, the secret to giving is giving in secret. And this is so against the grain of things, because we desire to claim it. You know what? There's this old Jewish notion that you can only claim reward for every good deed just once. I'm not convinced it's biblical, but it's one of those old ancient ideas. You can only claim the reward for each good deed once. You know, we actually expect a lot of rewards. Even the people when we do community service. Did you know? When you put on your college application or your job resume that you volunteered your time, you are reaping the praise of people in order to seek a reward. Is that wrong? No. Is it foolish? Maybe, maybe not. But are there not going to be some things in this world where you will show generosity for, you will never claim it on a tax deduction, you will never put it on a resume, you will never mention it on an application, you will never reveal it in an interview, you may never even tell your spouse, because the secret to giving is giving in secret so that only you know and only God knows. That is what Jesus is saying. Build that margin into your budget. Build that margin into your life. Can you imagine that? Now, if you're like me, there's the giving I do. Maybe if this is the whole portion of all the sacrificial acts I do, and I'm totally messing up all my reward by even talking about it, maybe this much is secret. Okay? But let's consider our investment portfolio. What if of all the things that we might do, especially if you're a Christian, to serve the poor, this was what you ever told anyone? This small, minuscule amount is the only thing that ever made it to a resume, a job application, a blog post, a Facebook tweet, a tweet, whatever it is, telling even your spouse, this is it. And the rest of this was secret righteousness. Ninja righteousness. What would happen? What is an act of giving that you're doing right now that actually you could make it a secret? I don't like that. I want to be recognized. I want to be recognized when I wash the dishes and put them in the dishwasher. I want to be recognized when I take them out of the dishwasher. I want to be recognized when I take the garbage out. I want to be recognized when I do nice things for people, when I serve. I want to go to a place and build a home and be recognized. That's my carnal, sinful, fallen nature. And Jesus is saying, what are you doing right now that you're so missing out because you're taking earthly reward? How do we do this? How do we possibly live in such a way? Now, I think most of the time when I read about this and think about this and hear sermons about this, very helpful, it kind of stops there. But remember, I said this is not primarily about money. I think money is the sort of the sphere of what we're talking about, the occasion. But really, we're talking about the need to get noticed. How do we deal with this? Two, and if you remember nothing, or if you're sleeping, wake up now. Two things you need in order to give in secret. And they're in the last verse. And here they are. Let's take a look at verse 4. Two things you need. Let's actually pick it up in verse 3. So that when you give to the needy, Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The reason why people don't do this is not because they're not good people necessarily. Listen very carefully. The reason why we don't do righteousness in secret is because we're selfish somehow. No, there are very generous people that don't do this. This is not necessarily a moral thing. This is a wisdom thing, a theological thing. Yes, you might give more in secret if you were more generous, but that's not what he's saying. The two things you need and I need to know in order to do this is two things. One, that the Father notices everything you do. That the Father notices every single deed you do and I do. And secondly, that He rewards greatly. If you don't believe the Father sees everything, and if you don't believe deep down that the Father's reward is worth it, it's just, why would you do this? Why would you give up the praise of other people? Let's take a look at being noticed. So that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret. The Father who sees things and notices in secret. The point here is this. You have to believe the Father notices. You have to believe He notices. Now let's pause and stop. I have a Christian background, at least my parents. If you ask me, does God see everything? Does God see everything? What is my first response? My first category is, yes, He sees all my sins. It takes a long time for me to think, yeah, He sees everything, including all my sins. That's pretty much all I get to. And that's kind of how parenting sometimes is. I don't talk to my kids unless something they do bothers me, or we don't notice anything about the music or the lights or the slides are wrong until it bothers us. And at work, if the boss doesn't come down on you, it's because you're not bothering her or him in any way. We kind of have a culture where no news is good news. If you don't talk to me, it means there's no problem. And so we come to God. And we think God's the doctrine of omniscience. God sees all. He's looking into your soul right now. That makes most people nervous because we think of the sins that God sees. One of the most helpful parts of the sabbatical I had was to really analyze and pray before the Lord about why I get discouraged, why I get depressed. Maybe I share this, maybe it's sharing as a pastor, but maybe because it'll be helpful. As I kind of, under the, hopefully, the guidance of Scripture and the Holy Spirit, look in my heart why I get discouraged. Now, regardless of what you may or may not think of this, this is just sort of the truth at this point in my life. I think I get discouraged because I feel unappreciated. I feel unvalued. I feel like no one really notices or cares. Unless I mess up, then of course, people care. But if I just do my thing, no one notices. No one appreciates it. Have you ever felt that way? The debilitating discouragement that, man, just don't notice. I feel so unappreciated around here. And you know intellectually it's not true. Because you know intellectually, once you say you feel unappreciated, everyone will go, oh no, we appreciate you. But you don't tell them that because you enjoy, like me, my pity party I'm having here. Don't interrupt my pity party. I'm feeling pretty good about feeling bad. And I'm sitting here thinking, no one notices. I feel so discouraged. Discouraged people are not generous. Depressed people don't share. Because they're focused on what we need. Jesus says this, you have to be so happy in God, so full of the Master's joy, that not only does that make you generous, you don't care if no one thinks you're generous. You're so delighted in who God is because He sees everything. He notices everything. He notices. When you and I think no one notices, except God, well, of course God notices, but He always does. You have to kind of redo your heart there. Jesus says this, the only way you're going to give in secret is when you remember your Father sees in secret. Not only does he have to see it, he's got to have something worth giving. That's what that second thing we need is. If we need, in order to do this, to give in secret, we need to, one, know that God sees and notices. Number two, we need to believe that God will reward us. And listen, is the reward worth it? Now, of course, people go, well, yeah, because it's a sermon, right? Paul the Apostle in Philippians talks about the most powerful motivational force in his life. Do you know what is one of the greatest things that made Paul such an amazing witness for Jesus Christ? Because he genuinely believed that to die is gain. What does that mean? That means that his vision of heaven, that the second he dies, he's looking forward to something so much greater. Sitting there anticipating a great movie, sitting there anticipating a great meal, waiting on the train station, anticipating the arrival of a dear friend. That is how Paul feels about dying. And he says this, to die is gain. And here's what Jesus is saying. You have to believe that God is going to reward you, and it's worth it. If non-Christians look at Christians and don't see generous people, it's not because we're selfish, necessarily. It's because this. We don't believe that what God has to offer is better than what we could ever give up. My kids, if you come around my house, sometimes I'll motivate them. Sometimes I feel I'm being lazy, but it's so effective sometimes. If you do this for me, Baba, Dad, will reward you. And then they start running around, they bump into each other, and they all do something, clean up the room, or whatever it is, or, you know, put that thing away, or clean the thing, whatever. Usually it's clean something. Do all that, right? And then if you were to say, hey, stop, boys. Your dad said he's going to reward you? Yeah. Is that what you're cleaning? Yeah. What's the reward? We don't know. But we know it'll be good. Jesus says this. You have to live knowing these two things to give in secret. God sees everything. He does. He notices when you feel like no one notices. And though Jesus does not say what the reward is here in this verse, we got to ask ourselves, do you believe it's good? Do you believe that is better than the amazing praise of people, the recognition and reward of peers, family, and friends, the nations? And actually, Jesus in other places does talk about the kind of reward. Later on, parable, when Jesus is saying and comparing different people's faithfulness, the parable of the three servants, each with different talents, which is a form of money, and he gives one servant 5 talents or 5 units of money, and then gives someone else, you know, other types, and after they come back and they do well, he says, great, you were faithful with these things, I'll give you more. Enter into the joy of your master. It's worth it because it's Jesus who is the reward. The reward is knowing Christ. The reward is the relationship with the God who made you. You and I desire to be noticed. At least I can admit that. I think it's true for everybody. Maybe you disagree, but it seems to think the Bible says this. We will never overcome that desire. That is a healthy desire. Go from here knowing that God made you wanting to be noticed, wanting to be recognized, wanting to be rewarded. What he didn't make you for is to be recognized in the arms of some lover that you may not commit your life to be recognized by the peers, a review of people that frankly is flimsy and whimsical and fickle and changes with every new published journal article. He's saying the desire to be recognized is not wrong, but where you place that is all the difference. The whole world is guided by this. Everyone in the room wants to be noticed by someone. And if Christians here in our church and in the area became people that were focused more on being noticed by our Father, what would happen? What is something that you're doing? How is some form of giving, some form of generosity you're doing right now that you could revel and say, I'm going to do this in secret. I'm not going to feel great about myself because I did in secret, but I'm going to delight in the fact that this is going to get me more of who Jesus is in my life now and in the kingdom to come. The idea that we get our just reward, again, is kind of a cultural thing. Some of us are sitting here this whole time thinking, Enoch, I just don't think that's right. I think that if you do something good, you deserve the recognition. It's fair. It's normal. There's nothing wrong with getting a building named after you. There's nothing wrong. And I'm saying, sure, there's nothing wrong. If you believe in getting recognition for your good deeds, I'm not going to argue. You say you're not? No, I don't think the Bible would argue with that. Really? If you did something great, sure, justice would be recognizing your great deed. Okay then. But if justice is recognizing all your good deeds of generosity, then isn't justice also mean that we recognize all our deeds of self-centeredness? If we're going to be recognized for every good thing we've done, don't you think it'd be only fair to be recognized for all the sinful, lustful, self-centered, bitter, hateful thoughts? Don't you think that would be the just thing? And Jesus says, look, don't be satisfied with the recognition and reward of people. Come to me. I have recognized your sins by dying for them on the cross. And I will recognize my reward in your life. You will get all of my rewards. That's what Jesus means. That's what it means to believe in him, to be a Christian, to have the gospel. It means to get all the rewards Jesus ever gave. And that all the sins we ever did were punished for him. And that is what it means to finally come and give in secret. Because only when you give in secret do you really know for sure that it's more about God and not about other people. Can we be happy enough in God to be generous people? So generous that we don't even care what other people think about us. Because that's what Jesus did for us. You want justice? You want to be recognized for your good things? I know I feel like I want to also, but then God says, well, fine. That's called judgment. In the judgment day, you will be recognized for all the good things you ever did and all the evil, wicked things you ever did. But grace on the judgment day is this. I will recognize all the sinful things you did and put them on Christ. And all the great things that Jesus ever did, you will get his reward. Don't fight the need to be recognized. Just find it in Christ. Let's pray.